Well, good morning. Congratulations for braving the weather this morning and the cold temperatures to be here with us today. I wish you all a very good Advent, a happy Advent. You know, here we are in the middle of Advent, the Gaudete Sunday, and we are wearing rose vestments to remind us, and we light the rose candle to remind us to be joyful. And today, I'm particularly grateful for this vestment. Not only does it look nice, but it's a very thick fabric. It's like a tent fabric, like it could have been made by St. Paul's Tent Company. It's very warm, so today I really appreciate the warmth. So we are, you know, very busy at this time in Advent, getting ready for Christmas. We're cleaning house, decorating, checking your list, shopping for gifts, planning the meals, and writing Christmas cards and hoping you didn't forget anybody. It's a very busy time, and it's hard to find a quiet place just to sit and relax a minute and be quietly joyful. It can be hard to remember what this season is about. And today in Isaiah, we hear about the desert. The desert and the parched land will exult. The steppe will rejoice and bloom. They will bloom with abundant flowers and rejoice with joyful song. So the imagery, you know, Isaiah has beautiful imagery. And so today it reminds me of my desert experiences. You know, a long time ago, I went to school at Arizona State University in Tempe, Arizona. And so on the weekends, I would drive to my family home in Prescott, Arizona. And Prescott is elevation 5,280 feet, so it is the mile-high city of Arizona. But Tempe, of course, is in the desert. So I had to drive through the desert to get to my home every weekend. Normally, desert is brown and it looks lifeless. It looks parched and dead most of the time. But there is a spirit in the desert that I really like. I mean, I've enjoyed, you know, hiking and camping and being in the desert. But in the springtime, there's about a 2 or 3 week period after the rains come when the desert blooms with abundant flowers and the birds are singing. Even the cactus have flowers and they look beautiful. During these short weeks, the desert is green and colorful and full of life. It's almost like you've been blind to that beauty. I drive past it so many times, I never really saw that. It's like you're seeing the glory and splendor of God where you least expect it. Now, while the imagery is fantastic and seeing the desert that way is really beautiful, you know, I don't think Isaiah is necessarily talking about a desert, but maybe a moral wilderness, maybe a spiritual desert in need of the Holy Spirit to nourish and bring it to life. Maybe Isaiah is referring to the hearts and souls of God's people as a parched land, and with God they will bloom to new life. As we heard in James, when we pray to God, he answers in his own time, not as we demand, so we need patience. You know, we are called to look in our own hearts with faith and patience and ask for spiritual life, that we are ready to receive the Messiah when he comes. Now, Isaiah further tells us how we will experience the glory of God. He says, the eyes of the blind are opened, ears of the deaf will be cleared, the lame will leap like a stag, and the tongue of the mute will sing. Again, do we think that Isaiah is literally talking only about physical healing? Let's hold that thought. In the gospel, John the Baptist, in prison, sends his disciples to ask Jesus if he is the one to come. Now, that's kind of an odd question. Why did he do this when not long before that, he recognized Jesus at the Jordan, he baptized him? In the Gospel of John, we read that John the Baptist saw Jesus and said, "Behold, the Son of God." Then John was saying, "Jesus, you are the man." Now in prison, in solitary confinement, knowing that he will soon be executed, his faith is tested, and his spirit is weakened, and his confidence is shaking. And now he's saying, "Jesus, you are the man, right?" You know, at the end of his life, he has prepared the way for the one to come, and he needs that reassurance because this all isn't unfolding the way he expected. You know, John was looking for the Savior who will come with a winnowing fan and who will gather the wheat and burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. So how does Jesus answer? He answers with the prophecies of Isaiah. He says, "Tell John what you hear and see, that the blind regain their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them." Now, Jesus could have simply said, "Go tell John, yes." But can you imagine the disciple, John's disciples going back to him in prison and saying, "Jesus said, yes." Or they could return, as I imagine, return to John and say, "We saw Jesus heal the blind. We saw the lame walk. We saw lepers cleansed. We saw the deaf hear. We saw the dead raised. And we heard the good news proclaimed." And John would know very well what the prophecies of Isaiah and what that means. He would know the significance of what his disciples told him. And Jesus knew that this would mean much more to John than a simple yes. Now, why did Jesus heal the blind and the lame and the deaf and raise the dead? Again, in the encyclical Fides et Ratio, St. John Paul II wrote that faith and reason are like two wings on which the human spirit rises in contemplation of the truth. So Jesus was not so interested that people would believe he could do physical healings for the sake of healing the body. He wants us to come to faith through reason, using our logic, that if we can see that he can heal the body, then we can believe that he could heal the soul, which we can't really see. So therefore, if we are spiritually blind, or spiritually lame, or spiritually deaf, or spiritually dead, we can believe that he will heal us completely. This is yet another way that God reveals himself to us. We need to have this real faith so that when we are spiritually sick, we know we can turn to Jesus and he will heal us. In our depression, in our sorrow, in our addictions, in our sinfulness, we know that he came into our world through the Virgin Mary, and he comes to us now in the word and sacrament, and he will come again in glory with salvation to save us. Now, in the beginning of this homily, I said, I wish you all a good Advent. So how do we continue to have a good Advent? Well, this week in your prayers and when you go to find your quiet place, ask yourself and Jesus the question of John the Baptist: are you the one? But for us, let's ask it a different way. Are you the one who I love above all else? Are you the one who I turn to in faith? Are you the one who I follow? And in the words of Prophet Isaiah, rejoice in the Lord always.